Good evening. Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, at verses 13 through 16. Again, that is Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Good to be with you tonight. Hope everyone had a good, peaceful, and restful afternoon. Always good to be back with the Sunday night crowd. Appreciate very much your faithfulness to the Lord. Certainly God will reward you for that. We have some special guests here tonight, Ollie and Sylvia Moore from Louisville. And as you, most of you know, I labored there for 11 years. And served under the oversight of Ollie most of those years. He was one of the elders there. And so they're here, of course, for Roman's surgery on tomorrow. But it's just great to see them. It's been a minute since we have seen one another. But good friends, that doesn't change anything, of course. And so we love them a lot. They're very special to us, and it's just good to see them tonight. Good to see everyone here tonight. I want you to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to look at a very familiar passage, just spend a few minutes tonight looking at this familiar text. It's found in Philippians, the first chapter. I'll begin reading at verse 21. Philippians chapter 1, and the verse is 21. I'll read through verse 24. Paul writes, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And I'm not going to spend much time on verse 21, but that last part is important because it gives us some insight to some of the things that Paul says in the following verses. To die is gain. That was Paul's thought about death. So he goes on to say, if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I choose, which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. The book of Philippians, as most of you know, is one of the epistles that we sometimes refer to as the prison epistles. And that is because, of course, Paul wrote these while he was a prisoner at Rome. In chapter 1 and at verse 12, Paul says, "I want you to know, brethren, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." And right away, you can't help but to see just the great commitment of Paul the apostle, that no matter what his circumstance was, he was going to be about his business with regard to serving Christ. He was going to do everything he could to spread the gospel and to save souls, even when he was in bonds. And so he says here that you know what has happened to me, but it has served to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. Like no one misunderstood why Paul was a prisoner. They weren't sitting back and saying, "I wonder what that fella did. I wonder if he was a thief. I wonder if he murdered someone." Everybody knew exactly why he was a prisoner. He was a prisoner for Christ because he continued to preach the gospel of Christ, and even the imperial guard heard the gospel from his lips. So here is Paul in prison, and at this particular time, there are statements in the book of Philippians that lead us to believe that Paul wasn't quite sure what his fate was going to be. There's some things that he says that would at least cause us to think he's inclined to think that he is going to survive this particular imprisonment, that he's going to be declared not guilty and set free. But the truth is, he's not quite sure yet. It hasn't been yet determined. And so he doesn't know if he's going to depart to be with Christ or if he's going to remain in the flesh. He just doesn't know. But of course, he says to us that he is hard pressed between the two. The old King James said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. And what that tells us is he really had good reasons for both of those situations. There was a part of him who wanted to die, and there was a part of him who wanted to live. And he really couldn't determine which one he really wanted. He was hard-pressed between the two. And so tonight, just for a few minutes, we want to look at some reasons why he may feel that way about those two situations. And as we begin, we understand the first thing he said, that he wanted to depart and to be with Christ. And so Paul wanted to die. And may I suggest to you, Paul's not just fooling around here. And we would dare not question his honesty. Paul really, really wanted to die. There's no doubt about that. And some might think, well, Paul was crazy. Who wants to die? Or maybe someone would conclude, Paul, because he's imprisoned and the things he had to go through, maybe Paul was just in a deep depression. No, that wasn't it at all. Paul wasn't crazy and he wasn't depressed. And we know that because when he was writing to these Philippians, you remember Paul encouraged them to rejoice, he said. And again, I say rejoice. And he wasn't going to tell them to do something he wasn't himself doing. Paul wasn't depressed at all. And yet he still wanted to die. Not too many people want to die. There's just few people who might even find themselves, because of the circumstances of their life, that they're willing to die. And there might be still even fewer people who maybe because of an illness and there's so much pain that they want to die. But most people dread death. But not Paul. He wanted to die. And may I suggest to you that there are both logical reasons and there's an emotional reason why he wanted to die. And the truth of the matter is we should really feel just like Paul. And so how can you say that? How could anyone logically want to die? Well, first of all, Paul knew this. Paul knew that the moment he died, he would be free from all of the trials and tribulations, from all of the persecutions of life. He wouldn't have to go through any of that anymore. And Paul really went through it when he was here on earth. We remember several situations. We're here looking at the book of Philippians. And so let's recall for a moment what happened to Paul when he was at Philippi in Acts the 16th chapter, you might recall. He was there and he was doing nothing but preaching the gospel of Christ. That was his only crime. And it says at verse 19, but when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, these men are Jews and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice. Of course, that was a lie. But this says the crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore their garments off of them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Their hands and feet were put in the stocks. The prison that it says here, they were thrown in prison. Actually, it was more of a dungeon. I have looked at this and have made mention of it several times over the years that when individuals had their hands and feet put in stocks, first of all, they were in a very unnatural, uncomfortable position. That itself would be painful. And the stocks were tightened on their wrist and their ankles so tight that they would leave permanent scars when they were taken off, if they were ever taken off. And so here they are in this miserable state. And don't forget, they were beaten with rods. And their only crime was preaching the gospel of Christ. You might think that surely would depress anyone, but not Paul and Silas. Verse 25 tells us that at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. But that's the kind of thing Paul had to deal with all the time. He escaped this situation because it came out that he was a Roman citizen, and so they quickly let him go. But you remember that after he left Philippi, he goes on into Thessalonica, chapter 17 at verse 1 says, "And now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul went in as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the Christ.'" But you remember the story, don't you? We don't have to read the whole passage here. You remember that Paul was chased out of town just preaching the gospel. He was chased out of town, and so he leaves there and he goes to Berea. And fortunately, when he was there, he found some Jews who were more noble than the Jews in Thessalonica. But the problem is those Jews from Thessalonica went down to Berea and chased him out of town there too. And so you just think of the existence of Paul. His life was always in danger. That's how he lived his life. Almost every day of his life, there was danger. In fact, when you turn over to 2 Corinthians, listen to how he describes it in chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and at verse 7. 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, and the verse is 7. It says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." Now listen, he says, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but what? Not driven to despair." He wasn't depressed. He says, "We're persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to the death for Jesus' sake, to that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you." And when Paul uses this kind of language, you notice again, he admits daily, our life is in danger. And when he talks about this idea that the life of Christ is manifested in our bodies, and he says that, he mentions that twice in this context, what he's talking about there really is that you could see on the body of Paul that he shared not only the life that Christ lived, but the suffering that he endured. You could see the scars that Paul had on his body. That he was beaten so much with rods, and he went through so many different things. He was even stoned. It left scars on his body. He talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, I know you're familiar with this passage, but let's just read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and beginning at verse 22, Paul describes some of the affliction that he had to endure. He writes, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman." Remember what we said in Bible class this morning? That Paul's overall attitude was to preach Christ, not ourselves. And if you weren't in the Bible class, I'd made mention that Paul, sometimes to defend his apostleship, he was forced to talk about himself and things that he had done and his credentials and all of that. But he was kind of embarrassed by that. That's not what he wanted to do, but sometimes he had to do it. And you see him here saying, yeah, I'm a better servant. All these false apostles, all you have to do is look at our lives and consider the record. And then he said, you know, I'm talking like I'm crazy, like I'm a madman. But he was kind of forced into that. But now that he brings up what his situation is and how he was a better servant than they were and how he endured more, he begins to talk about these things that he had to endure. At verse 25, it says, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, danger at sea, dangers from false brethren, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. That's what Paul had to deal with. That was his life. Like, it doesn't take much imagination to see why Paul would say, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to depart this life. That's what he wanted to do because he knew all of that would be behind him the moment he died, that he would never be afflicted. He would never again be stoned or beaten with rods or whipped or any of those things. He'd never again be on the run because false brethren were after him. You don't have to worry about that. We can see logically why Paul would want to die. Now, let me just say this to you, that while we today don't experience what Paul did, we should still feel the same way he did. We have trials and tribulations. We have distress in life. All of you at one time or another have felt some kind of anxiety. You have had problems, whether they're family problems or financial problems or work problems or school problems or whatever they might be. We all have difficult times. But just like Paul, when we die, it's all behind us. Who could forget the words of John? I know you're familiar with them in John 14, where at verse 13, when he said, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, from henceforth they may rest from their labors. That's what we have when we die. It's rest. That's why all of us, we can face death with boldness. Maybe we don't want to die, but we certainly don't have to fear death. And the truth of the matter is, in a real sense, we can and we should look forward to it. Again, maybe you don't have that level of persecution that Paul had to endure. But whoever you are, like we have in this congregation, we have a lot range of ages. We have a lot of young people, but we have several older people too. There are many of you right now listening to my voice. You know that most of your life is behind you. Like you don't have, compared to the years that you have lived, you don't have that many left. You know that. I'm not telling you something that's shocking. Oh, Doc, I can't believe he said that. You know it's true. Life is temporary. But you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to have sleepless nights. You don't have to have any anxiety over your approaching death. The fact of the matter is, you should be like Paul. I want to depart. Because the moment you do, any problems that you had to endure in your life, you'll never have to endure those problems again. Any difficulties you're having right now, it'll be over the moment you leave this world. There's a logical reason for us, even, just like Paul, to look forward to death. You know, there's not too many people on the face of this earth who can say that. Only those who are in Christ. And I tell you something else Paul knew, just from a logical standpoint, why he might look forward to dying. He understood something else. He knew that the moment he died, the devil would never, ever be able to attack him again. He would never again have to put up with that nonsense from Satan. And now what that tells us is, one thing Paul recognized when he was here on earth is that the devil could prevail against him. It wasn't likely. We know that. Paul was so totally committed. He wasn't thinking about giving in to the devil, but Paul did know the possibility. Like, it's kind of ironic that there's a lot of people who teach we can fall from grace, and they want to point to Paul and some things that he has said to try to prove their false doctrine. But Paul himself knew the devil could overtake him. It's possible. That's why you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul is why he lived the way he did. Now, we can. There are many passages that teach us we can live our lives in such a way that we will never fall. But we should never stop understanding the possibility. If we ever get off course, if we ever stop living the way we should be living, that should just give us more motivation to live the way Paul lived. 1 Corinthians 9 and at verse 24, Paul said, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable." So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control. Why do you do that, Paul? Lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I don't know how in the world people teach once saved, always saved. I can't remember off the top of my head. I know they have some kind of answer to this passage, but it doesn't make much sense. Like, Paul knew he could be disqualified. If you think you can't lose your salvation, you're going to think you can be disqualified from the race of Christianity and still make it to heaven. But Paul didn't think that. It's why he ran so hard. It's why he ran as if he really, really wanted the prize. In fact, in thinking about the book of Philippians, turn back over to Philippians. And you notice in chapter 3, these familiar words at verse 12, Paul said this, Philippians 3 and verse 12. He says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own." Paul knew he hadn't obtained anything. Now, don't misunderstand this. Paul wasn't ever doubting his salvation. He knew when he wrote this, he was a servant of Christ and he was saved, but he hadn't yet obtained the reward. And he knew it was possible that from the time he wrote this and he would receive his reward, that something could happen. And he knew the only way he could prevent that is to keep on pressing. So that's how he lived his life. But he says a whole lot in this particular context that tells us he understood. Listen, at verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Why would he keep on pressing if he thought he already crossed the finish line? He knew he hadn't. So he knew that it was possible for him to stumble. And so he kept on pressing so that that wouldn't happen. But he also knew that the moment he died, he wouldn't have to press any longer. The moment he died, he would have that rest that John talked about in the Revelation 14 passage. And the truth is, we know that too. Let me tell you, if you're a Christian, if you die, that really is time to celebrate. And it's hard to think like that when we lose a loved one, of course, and there's always going to be a time of grieving. But at the end of the day, we know that that person has his or her reward. Paul knew that, so he logically, it just made sense for him to want to die, and it does for us too, for those reasons. And then there was an emotional reason. And you know what it was. He didn't just say, I want to depart. He didn't say, I want to depart because of all of this persecution. That played a part, as I just talked about. But that wasn't his primary reason for wanting to depart. He didn't want to depart simply because he thought the assaults of the devil were too much. No. He said, I want to depart to be with Christ. That explains why Paul was who he was and why he lived the way he did. Paul loved Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you really, truly love Jesus Christ, you're all right. You remember Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. If you love Jesus Christ, then you are committed to his cause and you'll live the way the Word of God tells you to live. Paul loved Jesus and he could not wait to see him face to face. He had some logical reasons to want to die, but there was one emotional reason. He couldn't wait to be in the presence of Jesus. All of us should feel that, shouldn't we? If you are a Christian, you are, I don't know that I completely understand what Paul was talking about then. I've said it many times. We've all done studies on the Hadean realm and when we go where we die and heaven itself and all of that. I don't know in what sense Paul was going to be in the presence of Christ, but we know he was. He said it more times than just here. So if you're a Christian and you die, the moment you die, in some way, you'll know it immediately. But in some way, you'll be in the presence of Jesus. And that should cause all of us who are Christians and who love the Lord to say, I'm ready to go just any time. And Paul lived that. Now, remember, he was in a strait betwixt two. He was hard-pressed between the two. You say, after all of that, why in the world would he ever want to remain or abide in the flesh? There's only one reason, and it was completely unselfish. It was because he knew what he could do for brethren. Going back one more time, and very quickly, to Philippians chapter 1, and he said at verse 24, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. That's why he wanted to stay, for their progress. And that says something very important to us too. Paul really lived the life. He loved Christ, but he also loved his brethren. And he realized that as a Christian, his job was to help other Christians to the very best of his ability. And if he was to remain in the flesh, that's what he was going to do. That would be the purpose of his life, one of the purposes of his life, along with winning other people to Christ, helping brethren. And we just read his epistles, and you know that's what he did. That's how he lived, helping brethren. And what does that say to us? How should we feel? You say, well, I understand all that you said about death, but I'm in no hurry to die. I want to remain in this life. All right. Why do you want to remain here? Is it just for you? Is it what you can get out of this world and pleasure that you might be able to experience and good times that you might enjoy with family? And is it all about you? Or do you want to stay here because you know you can help the progress of other brethren? That's only true if you're willing to be like Paul and really live the life. And if you say to yourself, well, that's me, that's why I want to be here, and well, prove it. I have to do my best to prove it. So do you. You can't say that and never help brethren. You can't say that and live a selfish life when it's all about you and you don't think about how you can help the church to grow and how you can help brethren be stronger in the faith. And if you're going to say that, if I'm going to say it, we need to prove it. That was real to Paul, so real where he really was having trouble as he thought about, I wonder what the verdict is going to be. I wonder what's going to come down. I really want to go, but I really want to stay. He was in a strait betwixt two. And we should be able to relate to those emotions ourselves. Whatever the circumstances, Paul said in this very epistle that he had learned to be content with whatever situation he was in. He was going to serve Jesus regardless. And we should have the same feeling. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. Why not do that tonight? So easy to do. Mark chapter 16 at verse 16, is there a more simple passage than that? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you're in an undone condition tonight, you can change that in a matter of minutes. The baptistry here has water that is full. We can baptize you. You'll be putting on Christ in the waters of baptism. You'll be figuratively contacting his blood, so your sins will be washed away, not by the water, but by the precious blood of Jesus. You can be a new creature in Christ. You can do that tonight. If you're a child of God and you have drifted and not living right, you need to do so. Don't just sit back and say, I'm a member of the Church of Christ. I'm going to heaven. No, you have to be faithful unto death. If not, you have to repent and pray God. Fortunately, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. He'll mediate for us. He'll go with us before the throne of God and plead on our behalf. And one thing about Jesus, he's never lost a case. So if you're a child of God and not living right, you can rectify that. But you have to repent and ask God for forgiveness. If you need the prayers of the church, come forward. We'll help you out. We'll pray for you and encourage you any way that we can. But do what's right. Do it right now as we together stand and sing.